Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Initiative. My name is Marcy Stern, and today we will be studying Sefer Hosea, Perek Aleph. It's really my privilege to be teaching you Hosea, which is the first of the 12 Svarim included in Treyasar. All the Svarim in Treyasar are small Svarim, and that's why they were included in one Sefer. From one Perek in Ovadia to Hosea and Zechariah that have 14 prakim. You just concluded Sefer Yecheskel, which took place at the end of the first temple and went beyond. Now we are going to go back in history over 160, 70, 80 years before, from the time that Yecheskel went into Galus, into exile with the discretion of the temple. Now we are going into the pre-Galus Aseres HaShvatim period. As you remember, obviously, the first king was David, and then Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, and then we had the unfortunate divisions in the kingdom. They divided into the 10 tribes on one side and two tribes on the other. The 10 tribes were Malchus Yisrael, known as the Northern Kingdoms, and of course, Malchus Yehuda, which was Yehuda and Binyamin. What happened, as you know from Malachim, is that Aseres HaShvatim began sinning very badly, doing Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and it eventually led to Galus Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes going into exile under Asher Assyria. We are going to be studying this period prior to that exile, okay? And Hosea plays an integral part in this. So what I'd like to do is give you a little bit of that historical perspective by opening up Hosea Perek Aleph. And of course, as usual, the first pasuk tells us where he fits in. The pasuk says, Dvar Hashem, Asher Haya El Hosea Ben Beiri, B'yemei Uziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Chizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda, U'v'yemei Yeravam Ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael. It mentions four very famous kings in whose time Hosea was Nabat Menabe. They were Judean kings. And it only mentions one of the powerful kings in Yisrael at that time, and that was Yeravam. Rashi comments, why did Yeravam get the schus of being mentioned at the same time of these four tzaddikim, Uziyahu, Yosam, Achaz, v'Chizkiyahu, who were the kings of Judea while he was a king of Yisrael? And they said, well, I won't go into detail, but they said it was b'schus and the merit of not being mekabel lashon hara. They came to him, wanted to say terrible lashon hara about another Navi at this time named Amos, and he was not Makabalit. And so in that schus, he got mentioned in Tanakh and added time. It's really quite remarkable. The schus of even being mentioned as a Rasha, and that because he has that one schus of this particular schus of not being Makabal lashon hara, he's mentioned here in this pasuk. In any case, this is our time frame. We are before Galus Aseres HaShvatim. We're trying to avert Galus Aseres HaShvatim. And it says in Pasuk Beis, Tchilat Diber Hashem Bahoshea. Beginning, Hashem speaks to Hosea. And there's a famous Gemara that asks, really, is that so? In the beginning, that's who was the first Navi? At the beginning, this was Hashem's choice to being a Navi. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu really had Nevoah way, way before Hosea. And so the Gemara says something very interesting. It says, Begperek Echad, Nitab'u Arba'a Nevi'im. There were four great Nevi'im, and they're all going to, three of them are in Treyasar. Vegadol Shepkulan Hosea. He was the Gadol of them. What do we understand that to mean, Gadol? That he was the senior prophet at this time. He was the first who was Menabe in this foursome. Who was this foursome? The foursome, Rabbi Yochanan says, Tchilal Arba'ani Nevi'im Shnitnabu B'Oto HaBerek. He was the first of the four who were at this time. Ve'eluhain, Hoshea, which we're doing, Yeshaya, which you've done, Amos, and Micha. Okay? Now, it's worth pointing out very quickly, I think, that it says who Hoshea's father was, which was Be'eri. And as you know, when a Navi's father is mentioned, that means that he's a Navi ben Navi. His father was a Navi as well. But the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah tells us that Be'eri really was the Nasi of Shevet Reuven, okay? Now, which means he came from a very chashuva family. But the question that someone answered, and that the Medrash wants to ask, is why is it important that he was from Be'eri? Is there something we can learn that he came from Shevet Reuven? And the Medrash says yes. Okay, and listen to this. Y'all know that Reuven had given the idea of throwing Yosef into the boar instead of killing him, okay? And it says, the Medrash says like this, it's in Bereishis Rabbah, Pei Dalet, Yotet. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Reuven, Hashem said to Reuven, Ata patachta b'tshuva tchila, you were the first to open up and start doing tshuva. When, this is when he returned to the boar, it says, Vayashav Reuven el habor, v'hine ein Yosef babor, v'yikra et begadav, he went to retrieve his brother, and he sees he's not there, and he tears his clothing, okay, and the Chazal ask, where was he that he was returning from? Asuk haya besako uvatanito, al shabil bel yitzue aviv. He was doing tremendous amount of tshuva. He was sackcloth. He was fasting that he had taken the bed of his father Yaakov when Rachel died. He took the bed out of her tent and put it into the tent of Leah. Much written about that. And Yaakov was not happy with him at all, as we know from the brachos. But he did do tshuva. So the Medrash is saying, Reuven is known shehu poteach b'tshuva tchila. He's one of the first who did this sort of tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the point? The point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here in Hosea picks someone who in his genes, in his blood, in his background, has that tendency to do tshuva when he's wrong, to admit when he is wrong. And this was the type of leader that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to pick in order to do this job, to get Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva before Galus Aseres HaShvatim would happen, before this tragedy of 10 tribes going off to the Assyrian exile. HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks the appropriate leader, Navi, whatever, anybody who's leading his nation, he handpicks for that particular mission that he is on. Okay, so let's get into the parak itself. What I'd like to do with you now is I'm going to read Psukim Beis through Tet. I'll read it, I'll translate a little, put in some things, and then we'll get to the crux of I want you to think about it. And as we're reading, you know, what problems just shout out at us. This is like one of the most astounding prakim, especially when it begins a sefer in this nature. Okay? So let's go back to Pasuk Beis. Tchilati ber Hashem b'Hoshea. Vayomer Hashem al Hoshea. Hashem says to Hoshea, Lech, kach lecha eshet znunim. You should go and take for yourself, Mary, a prostitute. V'yaldei znunim. And have children that will be considered bastards, right? Mamzerim. Why? Because they'll never believe that she still wasn't fooling around with somebody else. Or others want to say he should marry a well-known zona and let her bring the children she has along with her. Why? The reason is given. Kizanotis neha aretz me'acharei Hashem. Because the land, the people of the land have prostituted the land by going away from Hashem. So let's stop for 1 second and see if we can understand what that all means. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with Hashem is compared to a chasen and kala. We know from Har Sinai that we entered a bond of love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us his ring, his Torah, and we live our Torah, we live our lives in constant relationship with Hashem. And what is the essence of any marriage? Faithfulness. God expects faithfulness from us. What happened? After giving us everything, bringing us into Eretz Yisrael, and everything else that came along with it, right? What did we do? B'nai Yisrael acted like prostitutes. What does that mean? Just as a prostitute leaves her husband and goes to other men, so B'nai Yisrael are known now that they leave Hashem, how? By doing Avodah Zarah. They believe in other gods. They still come back, but they go off to their Avodah Zarah. So in some places in Navi, it's talking about them depending on other nations for aid rather than depending on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Musar that's being given here is quite astounding. Go marry a Zona because I want you to show B'nai Yisrael what it's like, what they're doing. They have to see how they look like to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shock that Hashem feels every time he sees them going and doing Avodah Zarah, it's like you're a prostitute, okay? Hosea is the representative of Hashem, so he has to marry the Zona and let them see what it looks like. Now, quite awesome. Gemara Pesachim, Pei Zayin, Amud Aleph add? A different angle. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo Hoshea. Hashem said to Hoshea, Banacha chatu, your son sinned. V'haya lo lomar, and he should have said, Banacha heim, Hashem, they're your children. B'nei chanunecha heim. B'nei Avram, Yitzhak, v'Yakov, they're your children. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov's children. Galgel rachamecha aleihem. Please have mercy. Lo dayo shalo amar kach. It wasn't bad enough that he didn't say that. Ella amar lefanat, but he said to them, Ribo no shalolam, kol olam shalchahu. The whole world's yours. Havi rein ba'uma acheres. Switch them. Get somebody else to be your nation. Wow. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did Hashem say? Ma'eseh zaken hazeh. What should I do to this man? Omar lo leich. I'll go tell him. Leich v'kach isha zona. V'holid lecha banim znunim. And go have children with her. V'achar kach omar lo shlachecha me'al panach. And then I'll tell him to send her away. Im hu yachol lishloach avani ashlach et Yisrael. If he can do it, so can I. Shenemar v'yomer Hashem al Hoshea lech kach lecha eshet znunim. And that's what he means. Go and take a zona. Go take a prostitute. It shows us here really very interesting that what is the purpose of taking the Zona? There was a purpose for B'nai Yisrael, that they should see what they look like and be shocked at what they look like and shocked at what Hashem sees them as, and also for Hosea. He had to understand that there was a special connection between Hashem and his people. And if he could say, Ha'avi rein ba'uma acheres, he didn't get it. The only way he could get it is if he says to him, now you go marry somebody, and you have children with her, and establish a family with her, and have those connections with her. And if you can do it, then I'll do it. He could only be a defense attorney if he could understand that which the relationship should have been. Okay, so we see the purpose goes for Hosea, and obviously the most important part was for B'nai Yisrael. Now, the biggest question, of course, I'm sure many of you are thinking or had thought the first time you ever read this Pirek, what? Really? You're trying to tell me that Hashem told Hosea to go and marry a Zona? I mean, really? Like, this doesn't seem very B'kavadik. What is going on here? And you should know that the Mefarshim really talk heavily about all of this. And it's an important thing to talk about for a couple of minutes. And what I'd like to do, let's start with the Rambam, because he is, and Ibn Ezra, say it straight. The Rambam in Mora Nevuchim, Chelek Bey, says, quote, Ki chalila, chalila, shi'etzaveh Hashem le'nevi'o l'kachet eshet znunim, ul'holid Yaldei's Nunim ki cherpahilo. God forbid that Hashem should ever do this to tell a Navi to go and marry a Zona and give birth to people that are children that people will question. Ki cherpahilo. This is a busha. It's a shame. You can't make a Navi go through such a thing. And the Ibn Ezra agrees. He agrees. Chalila, chalila, he says. And so the Ibn Ezra goes on to say, V'hanachom be'enai, ki zeh ha-navi hayaro eba mar'ot nevu'ah, b'chalom ha-layla sh'Hashem amar lo, lech kach lecha eshet znunim. He goes on to say that, no, this really did not happen. It's part of a Mara Nevuah, okay? It's part of a dream he saw. And in his dream, he saw Hashem coming to him and saying, go marry this woman. And he went and married these women. And then he had children. Everything was in a dream. And that really is very much, the Radak goes that way, Ibn Ezra goes that way, Rambam goes that way. But there are definitely Chazal who say, no, this really did happen. And this, like, it's really like called a Maase Simli, some that the Navi is told to do something so that the people will see it and get the picture. And he brings the Barbanel two reasons why he does not agree with the Rambam or the Ibn Ezra. Okay, he doesn't say that by shame, but, you know, the idea. And really, the first one is a really a big lesson. Ki heim hanavi'im lo nivcharu mehashem yisporach mapat atzmam la'alotam b'ma'alot l'kavod l'tiferes. Hashem didn't pick them to make them grandiose, to, like a king. David HaMelech had to have a stature. Shlomo had to have stature. There's Kavod HaMelech, not by a Navi. What the Navi was there, hayu shluchei hakel yasherat amo. They were there as messengers to get us to do what we had to. Whatever we had to do, that's what they had to do. Ma sheyitztarech letikunam. Whatever would do, whatever would be the best way to get us to do tshuva, they had to do that. That was their tafkid. And we know Yirmiyahu, which I know you learned too, you see it constantly. What that Mesiras Nefesh that the Navi had to have all for us to get us to do tshuva. So he says to Barbanel, I see you're saying it's a cherpa for him. That doesn't have anything to do with it. What's that have to do with anything? This is his job. Whatever's going to do the job is the most important. And then he brings another very good idea, where he says, "Ki hadvarim hanirim yoter poalim balavavot me hadvarim hanishmaim." That which a person hears isn't as strong as what they actually see. Right? What you see really makes the effect. Okay, and this was obviously shows us how important this Nakuda of this Avodah Zorah that Bnei Yisrael were involved in, that Hashem felt he even had to get the Navi to actually do this deed, because seeing is believing. Seeing is believing, right, they say? Okay? So the Ibn Ezra, and there are, you know, the Barbanel is very strong about this idea that Eina Domeh Shmi Elariya, and that the purpose of a Navi is to do what Hashem has to do. Obviously, there are pulls both ways, and obviously I could spend more time, the poor children, and why do they have the names we'll see that they had to have. Well, if you say it really didn't happen, it was a chalom, it's easier. On the other hand, you bat it back and forth. But obviously, very, very important gedolim who see it both ways. Okay? Okay, so now what I'd like to do is try to run through the names, okay, of the children. So it says, I'm going to read in Pasuk Vav quickly, Vayelech vayikach et Gomer bat Yivlaim, he married a very famous known prostitute, and they had a son. Who did they call the son? Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Hashem Elav Krashmo Yisrael. Why? Ki od ma'at ufakadati et Dmei Yisrael al Beit Yehu, v'hishbati mamlechot Beit Yisrael. Yehu was a very famous king.
He was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to kill Ahav, which he did. Where? In Emek Yisrael, which is still there, obviously, in the north of Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem promised him if he got rid of Ahav, who was a big idolater, that he would have four sons that would sit on the throne of Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes. Problem was that after he did what he was supposed to, Yehu started to do idolatry also. So Hashem comes now and says, oh, really? I'll let you have your four sons. But after that, you're going to see that it's going to go downhill. And this Emek Yisrael, where you think you did so much good, and he did do what Hashem said, will now be the place where blood will be spilt. The 10 tribes will die. Not a very good omen, right? Next, let's run to Pasuk Vav. Vatar o vatelet bat. Well, what's her name? Vayomer lo krashma lo ruchama. She does not have mercy. Ki lo osif od arachim et Beit Yisrael ki nasa esel lahem. I will not have rachamim on Beit Yisrael. I have carried their sins for too long. Oh my gosh. I've heard names Ruchama, but not Lo Ruchama. And when you think how we all name our children, names we want to bear the memory of our loved ones. We want them to have some, take from the past into a beautiful future. Here, the name Yisrael is going to be blood-soaked. Lo Ruchama, no mercy. And then finally, if you look at the last one, which is Pasukhet, Vatigmol et Lo Ruchama, when she weaned Lo Ruchama, then they had another boy. Last Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Krashma Lo Ami, Ki Atem Lo Ami, Va'anochi Lo Eheyelachem. I mean, this is like horrific. You are not my nation. Whoa. Not Am Yisrael. Lo Ami. And look at this last line. Ki Atem Lo Ami, Va'anochi Lo Eheyelachem. I will not be for you. And something's missing. What do you mean? You're not my nation, and I am not your what? So some want to say Eheyeh is the name of Hashem. And Eheyeh means I will be with you in this tzara like I am with every tzara. So Hashem's saying here, no, I won't be the God of Eheyeh. No more am I going to save you. Usually Eheyeh means I'll be with you now and in the future in tzar. No more. But I think there's another way of looking at it. Ki atem lo ami, va'anochi lo eheyeh lachem. What word is missing? The word that's missing is le'lokim. I will not be your God. Why don't they write it? Why isn't it there? And I think it's because it's too horrible. It is awful to think that a Navi could write the words va'anochi lo eheyeh lachem le'lokim. So we're left hanging. The point is that we should be left with shock, shame, terror at these actions that he's exposed to us, either via the actual Maisa, seemingly, that he actually married the Zona, or through a nevuah that vividly describes how their actions appear to Hashem and what was going to happen in the future. Thank you for studying together, Le'inoy Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexander Center.